Brad is on the line. Brad, are you there?
I am here, Ryan.
That's great. We got a surprise for our audience today, our listeners and podcast and iTunes listeners. We are going to do the old switcheroo. We're going to have Brad Cullen interview Ryan Bruce, because today's post on day 7 is by Ryan Bruce. And my experiences over the last 7 days are what we're going to put up on web. And without further ado, then, the show is handed over. You're in charge. Knock us dead.
All right. Well, dealing with what you've written here, and I'm focusing on your statement on your third paragraph. It says, stop. No more of this charade. I want more faith. And you capitalize those words. It says, not temporary faith that comes from singing songs and hearing a rousing sermon. I want more faith. Well, what is this faith that you want more of, and how does it differ from the kind that you apparently used to think you had from sermons and singing songs?
The kind of faith that I used to get when I would regularly attend church was the kind that would hopefully last me the week, and I could feel connected to the source. At that time, it was connected to God. I had a different language, and it was the language of the Christian. But I'm going to avoid that language as much as possible in my dialogue today. So I'd go to my Sunday place of worship, and I'd sing some songs, and I'd hear a rousing speech by someone who called themselves pastor or minister or somebody like that, and I'd feel really good about myself, and I'd feel really good about my relationship with God, and I'd feel really good about a lot of things. But I noticed as the day went on, and the next day came, and the next day came, when I was challenged with my day-to-day things, that my faith seemed to slip away, and that relationship and close feeling that I had seemed to somewhat evaporate. And I would look forward to going back on the next Sunday. After a little while, Sundays weren't enough. I had to go on Wednesday nights too. And after a while, Wednesday nights weren't enough, and I had to go for a Friday night Bible study too. I just wasn't satisfied. I just couldn't get enough satisfaction. That relationship would, it's almost like a drug. Do you know what I mean?
I'm glad you went through all that, but whoa, Ryan, are you telling me you're no longer a Christian? Is that what you just said?
No, I'm not suggesting that I'm no longer, I'm no longer a Christian if you define Christian by church attending, attendance, and these sort of things. So if that is your definition of Christian, then I guess I'm not.
Well, come on, define Christian for me as you define it.
Follower of the teachings of Christ.
Follower of the teachings of Christ.
Yeah, so if I were to read that book that most people hold up over their head and wave at other people, I would say that the words in there that mean the most to me are the words in red, if you have a red letter edition Bible.
Okay, well, what? I'm going to have to unload some of my stuff here in a second, even though I'm supposed to be the interviewer this time, not the interviewee.
Well, you're supposed to do that.
Well, you've defined Christian somewhat. How do you define faith? Since you want more of it, why do you want more first, and then what is it?
Well, the reason why I want more, Brad, is I believe that I'm here for a purpose. And I believe that that purpose would be better accomplished if I had a deeper, more meaningful relationship with the source of that purpose. And the only way I can get that is if I have more faith. What is faith to me? Faith to me is a relationship of trust that serves me in accomplishing my purpose. That's what it means today. I'm not saying that it means that for everyone, or it will mean that 2 weeks from now. I'm saying today, that's what it means to me.
Okay. I'm somewhat comfortable, I think, with your definition. I think what I want to focus on is your next word. You say, a part of me is very excited about what is happening, but it feels blasé. This is so different. What is happening to me? Source says it's your spirit that sings, not your body and intellect. Can you tell me where you're coming from with that?
Yeah, well, earlier I was talking about, you know, how I would feel after going to church and getting a good sermon and hearing a rousing song. And that was somewhat like a chemical stimulation. It's actually programmed and designed to create a response, physical response from me, that the people in the audience of the sermon are conditioned for. It's like a chemical wash. Singing a rousing song lifts your heartbeat, stimulates your senses, opens your heart, especially if you sing along. Oh my gosh, if you sing along, well, then your heart is really open, and that's preparing you for the message. And then the message gets planted in, and it sits down deep there, and it's rooted. But all those things are emotional or intellectual. The emotions that you feel in the moment are supported by the words from the Bible that satisfy your intellect, which has a need for rationalization. But what really needs to be stimulated in what we're doing is the spirit, the other part. We are three parts. We are body, mind, spirit, and all of them need to be stimulated. And church stimulates two sides, body and mind. What about my spirit? There's only one place to stimulate that, and that's the source. And everything else is a false front. It's a cheap imitation.
Let me ask you a question, Mark, because generally you say to me, well, I'm challenged by that.
Okay.
Well, I have been challenged by thousands of people saying, you mean to tell me that you can't connect with the source in church?
Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I can connect with source anywhere. But what I'm saying is that church is designed to connect body and mind, not necessarily to connect spirit. Because spirit isn't always welcome in church. It's welcome within you, but is it welcome in the church? Well, I don't know. That depends on the church, the pastor, the flock. There's so many factors that dictate over that. We call it the house of God, but that's not the house of God. God doesn't need a roof and walls and a stereo system and a platform and a bunch of chairs. It's a facade. It's a built-up environment to mimic something that you should be receiving directly from source. And
well, wait a minute. Are you saying then that Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them? Are you saying that that doesn't carry over, or those words don't carry over to what we call church?
Yeah, it does, if they're gathered in his name. So let's be clear about what that means, his name. What does that mean to you?
Well,
in his power and presence.
Now you're on to my shtick.
Okay. So I'm ringing a bell you can relate to then.
The words in the original blow up in our face, because being in the name of Jesus, the word in the original really means in the character and authority of Jesus. To answer your question, I'm going to ask you the question, what is his character and what is his authority?
His authority is authority of the source.
Meaning?
Meaning, well, it's an individual thing, isn't it? For him, it meant healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out spirits. That is exercising authority. It can mean the same for us. Each one of us is on a journey to arrive there. So I'm not going to suggest by any means that I can raise the dead.
The key with his authority, I go in a slightly different direction, and that is to do with what taking what Jesus said seriously and why we need to. And the key has to do with John's introduction to the whole thing is, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Wow! And then you go down in just a few more verses, and the Word who was God and who was with God, who created everything in the universe, became the man, Jesus Christ. And if you go a little further, still in that first chapter of John, he says, and anybody that really relates to this, believes it, receives this, to them he gives the power to become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. In other words, to become a son of God as well. In other words, to operate in the same authority. And what happens in church to me, deletes that or depletes it or takes away from it, because it's a whole spectator mentality, if you would. If we're gathered together in His name, we're gathered in His authority, which means that the Spirit who created everything became this man, and the promise to us is that we too can become the Son of God. Now, am I saying that means we can be equal to Jesus Christ? Well, will you see my next? Because it'll blow you away. It came to me in our 21-day journey. What's this, day 7? I don't know what it is, but
yeah, day 7.
I'm pounding away for more and more, and all of a sudden, this overtook me, and it was holy mackerel. But in His name is in His authority and in His character. What was His character? To use our terminology, He only wanted the will of the source. That's gathering together in His name. Now, I will say to you, and why I finally got to the point where I had to leave the organized church for me, as I've said before, I'm not saying this to everybody else, but it kind of sounds like we beat this drum. But the reason I had to leave is that the church is set up, it's structured to do exactly what He said not to do, and which is, don't let anyone call you by any title that implies spiritual authority or spiritual superiority. And what is the church, organized church, made up of but people who call themselves by some names, if you would, that become blasphemous when you look at what He said? You know, He said don't do that one, and He said that shepherds, you know, there's only one shepherd. And all other shepherds are thieves. They're usurpers of the name. You do know what the definition of pastor is, don't you?
Yeah, shepherd.
It means shepherd.
Yeah.
How do we miss this?
We don't. We don't. Many do. No. So.
Yeah, many do, and we did for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm off of your thing and onto my own shtick, and sorry about that.
As I rose in church leadership, so to speak, which came out of church attendance, I was given several classes, a prayer partners class, a home group leaders class, basically a class on how to bring someone along in the faith. And it was exposed to me in very clearly written terms exactly how to go about opening up someone to receive whatever message it was that the pastor wanted to be passed on through the home group leaders. After taking the course, I declined becoming a home group leader because it seemed to me that it was a staged event. And then it dawned on me that church was also a staged event that was staged even more precisely than a home group. With the lights, the choreography, the songs, the message, etc., 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 the scriptures that were chosen, and so on and so forth. This is a very much staged event. So when I say the kind of faith, when I said in that statement, stop, no more of this charade, the charade I'm talking about is staged events. Praying because you have to, because it's the time to pray. Praying blindly or without purpose or without intent or without expectation. All those things, they all fit into that charade for me. And I'm done with them. And what I want is more faith. Let me be clear about what more faith means to me again. A deeper, deeper, deeper relationship with the source.
That's phenomenal. I want to go down to, you've written out several things that have happened to you in the last several days related to your faith and what it means. But you get down to number 5. You say, I have been told that I am in a stronger relationship with Source Spirit than ever before. What's that mean to you? What are you saying?
Well, I'm regurgitating what I'm hearing. Source Spirit is saying to me, when I'm asking for more and more and more, I hear, well, we're more than you ever were before. How much more do you want?
And what's your answer to that question?
I don't know, but I want more. Because because there's a...
Isn't it exciting?
It's very exciting. It's a journey.
See, on one hand, I don't take any credit for it, you know. But on the other hand, we had a podcast, I don't know how many weeks ago, where you were challenging me all over the place, and you finally decided to do something, which was to say, I want more faith. And I submit to you that you've had an explosion of faith. Am I right or am I wrong?
I would agree with you 100%. I mean, it's resulted in some changes in my life. These seven things, they produce results. One of the most obvious results to me is if something starts to go sideways or things are not working out the way that I wanted them to work out, my usual pattern would be to panic, escalate, create all sorts of problems, and basically open the door for a snowball avalanche of attacks from the enemy. And at this point, what happens when something goes sideways on me, like, for example, when I was writing this article, all of a sudden my computer decided to update. Where did all my data go? I just wrote all this stuff. A month ago, my reaction would have been to be very angry at the computer, curse the computer company, the software company, and curse just about everybody that ever touched fingers on this fabulous machine. But instead, I go, okay. I put it to the side and I said, the material will be there for me as soon as it's done doing its update. Sure enough, computer came back on, update was done, and there was my article.
It'll like what we've been saying.
Well, in the past, I would have to go through this emotional roller coaster and this voice inside my head telling me how nasty everyone is because they failed me in this one simple task of being able to type up my article. Is that a change in my life? Yes. It's a huge change because these things happen to us all day long. Somebody cuts us off. A dog barks at you and rushes towards you. The garbage man has a snarly look and looks at you funny. Has nothing to do with you, but he's looking at you funny, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Your wife is late home from work. The kids didn't do the dishes. You know, and on and on and on. The door's closed for attacks on that level. Thank you, Daddy.
Yeah, and that's the point. And that's the whole thing that you and I have dedicated our lives to, so to speak. Our message to everyone is, look, go direct. We're not trying to be instruments of the source. We are instruments of the source. And we want everyone who walks with us in this path to be instruments also of the source with us and to us. I had a vision not too long ago about a wheel that the body of Christ, so to speak, was very limited because it brought our mind to the physical again. And the vision I had is physical. It's of a wagon wheel. But the hub is the spirit, the source. And each one of the spokes coming from that hub represented the funnel that's coming to all these mini miniature wheels that are floating around out here in the wheel, the outer wheel part of it, which represent us. And that we, in turn, are able to share what we're getting directly from the hub. And it's different for everyone. So what you and I have decided, and it's evolved as gone through many weeks of putting together this website, is that that's what we're called to do, is one thing and one thing only, and that's just to encourage people to go directly. And we're both examples of what happens, and you and I encourage one another in the process. But one of the exciting things to me about this 21-day challenge is that we're 7 days in it, and both of us, who have been, quote, in the faith for, you know, many, many years, are having an explosion of faith simply because we're going direct. I want to go to just one more question, and I'm not sure it's a question, but number six, you said, I have learned that my motivation is twofold. A, to live long and prosper. And then you have in parentheses, that's stolen from Spock. You're going to have to explain that to me. I'm assuming that's...
Star Trek.
Star Trek. Oh, okay.
Spock from Star Trek. That was the greeting from the planet Vulcan. Live long and prosper.
Oh, okay. And then your second is B, to fulfill my purpose. And this is what I want to ask the question about. My purpose of leading spirits back to him. Whoa. Okay, what are you getting into here? Talk about my funny stuff sometime. Leading, your purpose is to lead spirits back to the source?
Yes.
Woo, tell us about that.
Well, I guess it's a choice of language that could create some confusion, so I guess I'm glad you asked, because I certainly don't want to create confusion. Where I'm coming from, and remember, when I'm receiving from source, or if I'm hearing something, it's a message designed for my filters, and my filters are based on my experience. So pardon the disclaimer, but I felt that the need to disclaim what the process is for me and what the filter is for me. So what is a spirit? Well, I believe that everything has a spirit. There is nothing in this physical realm that we can look at, touch, see, hear, feel, that doesn't have some form of a spirit. And yes, for all you weirdos, that includes trees. And I feel that certain spirits are placed in bodies or entities or physical forms that allows them the free will to ignore the source, where they came from. And I believe that through this podcast, and through publishing your writings and blog and whatever else may come, that other people will realize that there is spirit within them and that it needs to be connected back to the source.
Ryan, I want to quit there. I think that is so powerful. I want to leave that go, and you just say whatever else you want to say to end it, because I have nothing else to add.
Well, thanks. Connecting to source. Go look to where you came from. And I don't mean in the physical world. I mean in the spiritual world. Go back to where your spirit came from. It came from somewhere. Reconnect it to the source. That's the purpose. Write and tell us about it. Post a comment on the blog. We'd love to hear from you. Anything else?
That's it for me. Thanks so much, per usual.
Talk to you in 3 days.